talking today with Travis Meyer, News on 6 meteorologist. And Travis, let's, you know, we're here at the tail end of 2014. Interesting year. It was a mighty tough year in those early months of this 2014 as far as lack of moisture in so many areas of the state.
You know, and that's something that we felt going on into the summer would continue. And for some parts of the state, it has. But for a big chunk of the area, it changed. In fact, I spoke to several farmers and ranchers and said, well, Trav, I thought you said it was going to be a drier summer than normal. Well, it was in parts of the area. So Oklahoma's kind of split in two almost between the folks that really ended up with good rain and those that are still praying for some subsoil moisture and just some ground moisture, period. So we have a couple storms coming up, though. So I feel pretty good about the rest of the winter overall. I think we're trending in the right direction.
A year ago, about this time, it just stopped raining. You're saying maybe not that kind of a problem here for 14, early 15.
That's the key right now. And, you know, there was this big talk about El Nino coming back. And El Nino usually gives us a lot of southern storms in the winter and gives California a lot of storms. And then those kind of translate eastward and end up with a lot of gray skies, but a lot of rain, cold rain, icy type of conditions, and then snow in the northwest. But overall, the trend has not been as strong for the El Nino that we all had seen and the forecast was from the Climate Prediction Center. And so right now it's very what we call neutral. And so there's nothing really going on. And neutral phases can really mess you up because you can go really cold or you can get really warm. And we've been in a phase of, you know, we had that brief cold phase, but that was a unique feature in nature that just doesn't happen. And that's why so many records were broken, just because we had this super typhoon and right. it affected the way the jet stream moved. And it just took everything that was in Alaska and the North Pole and shot it into the United States. And things like that are unique. So I don't look at that and say, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world when things like that happen. That was just an aberration that's going to happen once in 50 years maybe or something like that, but we got to see that. For the rest of the winter, though, it does look like there's potential for off and on storms, and especially in the wheat belt, which Lord knows we need that in western Oklahoma and western Texas, especially in Texas, because they seem to have missed just about everything. So right. It does have a reasonable chance of seeing some of these southern storms here for the next, I'd say the next month or so, that should continue. But obviously, we're going to get in the coldest part of the year, and most of the trends are right now for getting back to that colder winter weather, not such a mild winter.
We, you know, right now we're hearing about the Pineapple Express over on the West Coast, and is that the type of a storm that could have some impact on us, or will that probably skirt north of most of our area?
A lot of times that shoots just kind of to the north. It kind of comes up over much of the Pacific Northwest, and then it kind of shoots through the central and northern Rockies and kind of dives east, southeastward. So we get some effect from it, but we still have a milder than normal shot of air because that Pineapple Express pretty much just brings in a lot of Pacific air across California, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, and then that kind of spreads to the across Oklahoma and Texas. The good news is in some of those is those stronger storms that are in that jet or Pineapple Express is what we call it, those tend to break free and then take a southern track. And those are the ones I'm thinking have the best opportunity for giving us some really general rains. You know, some of them could go half inch to inch and a half, maybe 2 inches, a few of them. So, that's significant, obviously, for the winter season. And I feel pretty good about that. But as we translate again into the deepest part of the winter season, there's still ample opportunity for some really cold snaps, I think, that will still occur sometime in mid-January, the way most of these ensembles, as we call them, that help us kind of look into the future are pointing. So we'll see how that plays out. But right now, it's still going to be a winter around here.
Is this going to be kind of a paycheck-to-paycheck set of storm systems or rain-making systems? Are we going to be able to put a real dent in the drought numbers that we've seen?
Again, that's a rough call because, you know, when you're giving a El Nino or La Nina, we have better information now than we ever had. I went to college in the late 70s and early 80s, and really La Nina and El Nino weren't even discussed. I mean, a lot of my learning and a lot of the learning that's gone on has really happened in the last 20, 25 years. So what we're finding is kind of a short history lesson of what we have. But the key is that the fact that I think that we do have a couple of opportunities, as you said, it's kind of like maybe making some banking money there with some of this moisture as we get through this winter season. If things plan out or play out as I think they would, that, you know, we could have three or four major storms this winter that could be real significant amounts of precipitation. And that includes snow across the northwestern half of Oklahoma, I'd say, where we could, you know, could see a 6 inches, maybe a foot of snow on some of these bigger storms. And with it being kind of semi-mild, a lot of that probably won't run off because it doesn't look like a real hard tundra freeze in advance of it in some of these systems. So some of that would really work out and percolate into the soil.
You know, when you look at this last 5, 6, 7 years, is this anywhere in the same neighborhood with some of those historic things we've had, the 50s and even the 30s on drought?
As we look at those, and I have one of our other staff meteorologists, Dick Farrow, who's really into researching climate patterns. And, you know, everything we've seen is pretty much very close to a 50s type of weather pattern where you got into a really dry, dry, hot pattern. And you'd get into these points where the drought was really severe. And it didn't appear as severe as the 30s, only because we didn't have I don't want to say the agricultural infrastructure, but we didn't have the equipment we have now to help soil conservation, obviously. And so that made a huge difference. But we're, I think, still from a farming perspective, ranching perspective, it's the same situation, you know, and these cycles occur. And, you know, people will complain about global warming, global climate change. And, I mean, it does change. I mean, things change. I mean, it's going to. And, you know, farmers have known that. You know, for any farmer that's been doing it for 50 or 60 years, knows that nothing ever stays the same very long. And there's a series of things that do happen. And 80s were wet. And I was talking about how many lakes were overflowing and how many floodgates were open on all these major lakes across eastern Oklahoma, where I went, holy cow, I've never seen so much water. And then last couple of years, I've never seen so little water. So, I mean, you know, it's what we do, I guess, right, in Oklahoma.
Right. And I guess for your immediate area, you've continued to struggle with dry ponds and just, you know, what kind of shape are your pastures in? Have you been able to get any recovery from some of those drier conditions?
This year was weird because we never got what I call a toad strangler. Most of our rains were a half inch to an inch, and that was like around the southern Tulsa County, Creek County areas where I do most of my agriculture work. And none of the ponds filled up. And in fact, all my dugouts and ponds, even I had a couple of them cleaned out 3 years ago when I thought, well, this will never happen again for a long time. They're still dry, and it never did recover. So we've gone 3 years now in some of these locations like southern Tulsa County where I'm just barely got by this year, and that was the case. We ended up about 60% of normal hay crop while I go about 25 miles southeast of Tulsa, and people's ponds were running over all summer. They didn't cut hay on the second or third cuttings of Bermuda because they didn't need to because they had it. Crazy, crazy year that way. So there's these pockets that are still bad, and that goes back in Pawnee County, and then you get in central and western Oklahoma, we still have some major pockets, obviously, that really need some moisture. But God willing, with a couple of these storms, I'm feeling better about it, but I'm still looking outside. My ponds are dry, so I'm not feeling that good.